Welcome to All Will Stand's Back to the Basics radio program. You can visit the website at allwillstand.org. I'm your host, Tim Metzger from Rapid City, South Dakota. So, today we're going to be going over the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And hopefully, after you listen to this show or the next show that goes along with it, you will also consider making Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. This is going to be a two-part series, and we're going to spend predominantly most of the time in the Gospel of Matthew, and we're also going to spend some time in Isaiah. So we're just going to go ahead and start in, get the background, and we're going to start with Matthew chapter 26, verse 1. Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, that he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Then the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, who was at Sepphoris, and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. But they said not during the feast, that there not be an uproar among the people." So here's Jesus spending time with his disciples. His disciples don't fully understand that Jesus has to die on the cross for our sins. They don't fully understand it. The idea back then was that Jesus was going to become the ruler. That they believed he was the Messiah, but they didn't understand that indeed that's going to happen. But first, this happens, and Jesus' second coming is going to be what they thought his first coming would be. Now, the thing is, so here they are, and he has his disciples with him. Now, we're going to go ahead and see here, because we're going to continue on going through the entire chapter of 26. So continue on, verse 6. "And was when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask, a very costly ointment, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table." So I'm going to stop here for a second. So what just happened is Jesus is anointed for his burial, you could say. So there were, if you were to look in the Old Testament, you could see, for instance, currently there's the start of going over Samuel, David, and Saul up on the website. It's a walkthrough for believers. And as we go through that, time avails, if the Lord hasn't come back for us yet, we will see that exact sort of thing happening and how it was done. But let's go ahead and go over, continuing on verse 8. "But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, 'Why this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor.'" Now I'm going to interject here a little bit from the Gospel of John, and there's a little bit more about the selling. That's why wasn't this given to the poor? Verse John 12, 4 through 6. "Then one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who was about to betray him, said, 'Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?' This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money bag, and he used to take what was put in it." So we need that, because we need that background for just who was Judas. You know, who was he? Well, he was one of what would be called the 12 disciples. So Jesus had 12 main disciples who went along with him, and Judas was one of them. So continuing on. Verse 10 of Matthew chapter 26, "But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, 'Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work towards me. For you have the poor with you always, but you do not always have me. For in pouring this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial of her.'" Well, indeed, it's being told right now. That was recorded in the Gospels. Okay, so we're going to begin continuing on, talking about Judas again with verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, "What will you give me, and I will deliver him to you?" And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Now we're going to take a look at something interesting, and we're going to go ahead and I'm going to interject something else here. Now this is an Old Testament prophecy. Now we looked at the miracles of Jesus. There's so many things we could look at, and we're doing the Back to the Basics program. And so part of that is kind of doing an order of, we'll say, seemingly necessity. And there's so much more that could be gone over, and if there's time, I'd like to do that. But taking a look at Zechariah chapter 11, and this is Jesus speaking prophetically for this verse, verse 12. "And I said to them, if it is good in your eyes, give me my wages, and if not, refrain. And they weighed out my wages, 30 pieces of silver." Okay, we're going to continue with verse 17 of Matthew 26, starting there. "Now on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, 'Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?' And he said, 'Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, 'Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me.' And they were exceedingly sorrowful. And each of them began to say to him, 'Lord, it is not I, is it?' He answered and said, 'He who dips his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he was never born.' Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, 'Rabbi, it is not I, is it?' He said to him, 'You have said it.' And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to disciples, and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink all of it, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not at all drink of the fruit of this vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" So we're just going to make a very basic interjection here, talking about the Lord's Supper, where Jesus breaks off some bread, blesses it, and hands it to his disciples, and he takes a cup and passes it along. This is a remembrance of what Jesus did on the cross. This is not the Catholic style of doing it. That is not the biblical way of doing it and the beliefs behind it. But it is something that is done by believers, and it should be done in remembrance of Christ. And there's guidelines to that and ways to do it that are proper that the Bible has, which is not, you know, not the purpose of this radio show today. So now we're going to continue on, and we're going to start with verse 30, and we are going to see how Jesus knows the future, even our futures. And so, starting in verse 30, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, 'All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you into Galilee.' Peter answered and said to him, 'Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble.' Jesus said to him, 'Truly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, 'Even if I have to die with you, I will not at all deny you.' And so said all the disciples." So there, Jesus is letting Peter know, no, you're actually going to deny me 3 times. And of course, Peter, he vehemently says, no, that's not the case. I will die with you before I would do that. Well, we'll see later that unfortunately that happens to Peter. And of course, he seeks forgiveness and repentance for that, and he's instantly restored. But it did happen. So we'll continue on with verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and in extreme anguish. And he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Stay here and watch with me." And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them asleep and said to Peter, "What? Were you not able to watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you not enter in temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again the second time he went away and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Sleep on and rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being delivered into the hands of sinners. Arise, let us be going. Behold, my betrayer is at hand." So, now's a moment where you have to remember, as we get into this, and you'll see this, Jesus at any point, because he is the Son of God, he is God, he could have instantly gotten rid of his enemies, instantly disappeared, instantly done anything. But as it says here in verse 39, "not as I will, but as you will," he's doing the will of the Father. He is the free gift that we had spoken about. So, continuing on with verse 47. "And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with sword and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, 'Whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him.' And immediately he went up to Jesus and said, 'Greetings, Rabbi,' and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, 'Friend, why are you here?' Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of those was Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, 'Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword.'" Okay. And we're not going to look up that verse, but that was Peter. You know, there's four gospel books. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they each have stories about the exact same event. But because, you know, if we were to all sit there and observe something ourselves, we would all have different details that we remember and all have different details that we have specifically. Continuing verse 52 or 53. "Or do you think that I am not able now to pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen this way?" So there you are. This is Jesus is willing. This is going to happen. This is what he came for. Verse 55. "In that hour, Jesus said to multitudes, 'Have you come out as against a robber to take me with swords and clubs? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But all this is happening that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled.' Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." Well, I can't help but interject here a different thing. Of Judas coming there, and I spoke about it was Peter, well, with the sword cutting off the ear of one of those. But this, I mean, think about this, because here we got these people that are coming to arrest this guy, this Jesus, this guy that they will consider a false prophet. But yet, he, you know, somebody's speaking things they ought not to, as you'll see. But you'll see here where, as if you didn't have all the miracles, here they are, just these people arresting him. The absolute, like, think about what is going on here and how guilty they are. So here's a different perspective from John 18:3. And here comes Judas. "Then Judas, having received a company of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all these things coming upon him, went forth and said to him, 'Whom do you seek?' They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to him, I am. And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with him. Now when he said to them, I am, they fell backwards and were thrown to the ground. Then he asked them again, whom do you seek? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way. That the saying might be fulfilled which you spoke of, those whom you gave me, I have lost not one. So, now we're going to head back to Matthew again in chapter 26. So now we see all the disciples have fled. And so they're gone. And it was Jesus, when he said, I am, which is the name for him, it's we're not going to get into the details of that, but when he said that, it's an Old Testament name. And they were thrown backwards. You know, I mean, obviously right there, he confirmed it. And then he made sure his disciples got to flee. So continuing in verse 57 of Matthew 26. And those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and elders were assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard. And he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now, the chief priests, the elders, and all the council saw false testimony against Jesus, put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said to him, do you answer nothing? What is it these men bear witness against you? But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, you said it. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witness? Behold, now you have heard his blasphemy. What is your opinion? They answered and said, he is worthy of death. Then they spat in his face and beat him with the fist, and others slapped him, saying, prophesy to us, Christ, who is the one who struck you? So they now have, he's now, you know, essentially on trial, you could say. He's being interrogated by the high priest and his co-rabbis, co-workers. And, you know, he's found guilty before him. Well, we're going to see what happens with that here shortly. But we're going to go back to Peter now. This is where Jesus spoke about, you know, here's God the Son, Jesus, and where he knew the future here. So let's go back to that, and we'll see the fulfillment of Peter denying Christ 3 times. Starting in verse 69. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and the servant girl came to him, saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. And when he had gone out to the porch, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow also is with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know this man. And a little later those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know this man. And immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. So there's that repentance. The weeping bitterly, he realized what he had done. And there's more where we could see that Jesus turned and looked at him at the same time through a different gospel book. But continuing on. Now we're going to turn our attention to Matthew chapter 27, that was it at verse 26, starting with verse 1. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he was condemned, repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? You see to it. And he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, It is not lawful to put them into the treasury because of the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him who was valued, whom they of the children of Israel valued, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me. Now, going to continue on verse 11. Now Jesus is going to actually go before the Romans were. So you had the Jewish people there. So let me just give a little bit of a backdrop. Very brief. You have Israel. You have the Jewish government, the religious government, the rulers, but they're actually underneath Roman rule at the time. So Jesus is going to go before the Romans now, because after all, Jesus was crucified on a Roman cross. That was not a method of death used by the Jewish people. So verse 11. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor questioned him, saying, Are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus said to him, It is as you say. And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, Do you not hear how many things they witness against you? But he answered him not one word. So the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release into the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, Who do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ? For he knew they had delivered him over because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, Which of the two do you want me to release to you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, What then shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ? They all said to him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why, what evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. And all the people answered and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Now, we didn't get into what's commonly referred to as Palm Sunday. But in all reality, we didn't get into Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem before he was being crucified. And there, the people were absolutely loving him coming into Jerusalem. It was a marvelous thing. And here is something you can read yourself. It's not the purpose of Back to the Basics programs as of now. We could do 100 shows, could be done, on just the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But for the purpose of this, the crowd certainly has changed. So continuing with Matthew chapter 27, verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And when they had woven a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to crucify him. Now, we're going to take a look at one other thing before we get into the actual crucifixion in the next show. Now, at the time this was written, This was written, if I recall right, 1,000 years before crucifixion. Being hung to a cross was ever a form of the death penalty. That was a Roman thing. And so it's prophesied in Psalms chapter 22. We're going to particularly take a look here for a moment at verse 16. For dogs have surrounded me. I'm going to stop there. That's speaking of Jesus. This is written by David, but it's also biblical prophecy speaking of Jesus. This is the way God, as he propelled his servants around to write the Old and New Testament, this is the way it was done. And so, continuing, the congregation of the wicked have enclosed me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. So, when you were hung on a cross, you were hung by your hands and your feet with rather large nails. And they would pound them through there and then raise you up on the cross to be crucified. And so, the simple fact that, to me, I guess I kind of, when I think of, there are over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament, and some of them are amazing. I particularly find this one to be just unforgettable. But there are over 300 prophecies, some of them smaller, some of them greater, in the Old Testament about the birth, the life, and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that were fulfilled in his lifetime. Over 300 that were written a long time before that happened. Jesus was only on the earth for 33 years. And you have over 300 prophecies that were fulfilled. And you can find some of those up on allwillstand.org. They're there. But for the purpose of this, we're also going to take another quick look, because we just got done talking about they're mocking him. They're, you know, there he is, dressing him up as the king of the Jews, which, of course, he is. He's all of our king. Psalms, once again, 22:7. All who see me mock me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, verse 8, he trusted on Jehovah. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, since he delights in him. Now, this is talking about Jesus when he's actually on the cross. But you can see there they are mocking him. So, the thing is, Psalms 22, you know, if you're wondering about the prophecies, when we go read it now. Understand it when we go through the next portion where Jesus is actually being crucified, continuing on, hopefully being able to get this into two shows. And so there's, once again, there's a lot here that we're not going over, but, you know, we're going to just give a basic overview of this and something that you need to know, because this is important for people who have never heard of it or who do not really understand it, which, unfortunately, even in the United States, it's going to become the vast majority of people. The younger generation, those who are, you know, 20 and under, a lot of them actually, they have heard of Jesus, but they don't know these things that I'm telling you. And that's amazing in this country that had such a great light onto the entire world that we now, we could use some missionaries here, but maybe not, because there's really nobody who cares to listen, hardly anyway. But of course, our job is to continue doing the work of God. And therefore, here this show is broadcast throughout Africa via shortwave, and also, you know, throughout the world through on podcasts, whoever understands English and finds these shows up on the website. But anyway, if you have questions about salvation, please don't wait. If you're seeking God, don't wait until the next show or the show after. In fact, a lot of times these shows might be published prior up on the website. They may not, but what is up there is if you click on the salvation link, there is a ton of information. If you click on what Jesus did on the cross on the very top, there's a track that you can download for free. Well, until next time, have a great week.